Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to A-Wide Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Commanders. 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the free Odyssey app. What started as the most important offseason in franchise history is about to end, and the regular season is about to begin. We are about 17 days away from kickoff. Week 1, Game 1 against the New York Giants. The Commanders are back on the practice field today. That's set for about 2 p.m. Dan Quinn set to speak to the media at 1:30. The big question, will McLaurin be out there? I know everybody wants to know the answer to that. And everybody's going to overreact. I was told, and I think John Kimes reporting this as well, he could be back at practice, but not actually on the practice field. Because he could be ramping it up in the bubble, ramping it up in the side field, ramping it up with the training staff. Don't lose your mind if he's not on the actual practice field today. But I will say, by next week, he absolutely needs to be. The ramp-up period was started in time for him to be ready for week one. They've got time. That's the beauty of this awful, annoying, frustrating situation, is that they have time to work things out. Because it's still just August 20th. But he will be fine if he's not going to practice. Like I said, there's a way for them to have him not be on the practice field, but also not get fined, because they could consider him ramping up on the side field or in the bubble. But by next week, we absolutely need to see him. So phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. What are the biggest questions you have for the Commanders ahead of week one? It's the question today on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for
the phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
What questions do you have ahead of the start of the regular season? 833-804-0910. I'm sure people are wondering. Question is, will McLaurin be there week one? I'm not too worried about him missing week one. I'm really not. I feel pretty confident that something will get done, or he will just play on that current contract, but most likely they will give him a slight raise and give him guaranteed money to get him back out there. Scott Abraham agrees. He's not worried at all. Says 100% chance he plays week one. So I'm not overly worried about that. How about starting running back? I'm not too worried, because Chris Rodriguez, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Jeremy Maniscalco, Austin Ekeler all have looked good in the burgundy and gold, whether this season or last season. I'm most worried probably about our secondary still. I think that is my big concern. Is the defense much improved? Are they slightly improved? Is there a chance they're worse than last season? We didn't see Amos in the preseason. That's the guy I was really hoping to see. Lattimore's still a question mark. He just is. Mikey Sanders still, we love him. How good will he be? Is he going to take a step forward? He's not going to be at a Pro Bowl level, I don't assume. Not in year two, but how much better is our defense? And then Quan Martin and Will Harris. Like, Quan Mart looked really good against the Bengals, for sure. He had big hits. But the defense also didn't get off the field. That's one of my biggest worries. This was an issue last year. They stop on third down, and then they just don't get the stop on fourth down. Or they get a stop on second down, and then they don't get off the field because they give up a third down conversion. I think my biggest question is the defense. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910, because all the questions you have about the offensive side of the ball, right? Wide receiver. They have enough weapons. Are they creating enough separation? What's going on at running back if it's not Brian Robinson? All the talk about Jaden Daniels not having a good performance in the joint practice. I feel like any question you had about the offense was quieted with four plays, 75 yards, and a touchdown run by JD5. Yep. It's hard to be worried about the offense at all. With Jaden Daniels at the helm, we're going to be all right. And this front office understands how much McLaurin means to this team. He will be there week one. My biggest question is still the defensive side of the ball. Have we solved the edge rusher position? Yeah, we brought in Von Miller, but how much are we going to get from Von Miller? We brought in Jacob Martin. I don't know what to expect from him. I think he will be good. What questions do you have for the Commanders with week one looming? My biggest question is probably still the secondary and the defense as a whole. Do you have any questions?
I mean, I guess it is receiver, just because, yeah, that squashed my ground game worries, but I still, like, I don't think Jalen Lane should be our three yet. I love him, but it's kind of seeming like that's what it is. And I am a little bit worried about Terry. I don't like that he wasn't at the game.
Yeah. I don't love that, but I think, to me, that was a statement there. Like, so I think Terry McLaurin was very close to getting a deal done. And remember, it was my take that, and I said this on Friday, I said it again on Saturday, all right? Especially with the pup update. I thought that he was going to have a deal done that was going to be announced at the start of the pregame show to Monday Night Football. And I think they were working towards that, and he might have gotten upset that it didn't get done and just said, all right, I'm not coming to the stadium then. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It did not look good to have Trey Hendrickson on the other side and B-Rob not there as well. But I will say, I saw enough from Jalen Lane that I'm pretty confident. I'm excited. And if Noah Brown is healthy, then it's Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Noah Brown, Jalen Lane, and whoever's the last guy, Luke McCaffrey or KJ Osborne or Michael Gallup, we might not even need them that much. Because part of the wide receiver room has to include the tight ends.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And has to include Eckler and other guys catching the ball out of the backfield. Right? Like, there's only a certain amount of throws to go around. And if we have a healthy Noah Brown and Terry's back, I feel like we have enough weapons at wide receiver. My next question, how have they solved the edge rusher issue? We won't find out about that until the regular season gets here. And then, will Washington limit their penalties in 2025? That was quietly a underlining issue in the preseason. Too many penalties. Pass interference, jumping off sides, false start.
Horse collar.
Too many penalties. And when they went on that losing streak last year, the penalties popped up. I get it. We were 12-5. There wasn't much of a losing streak. But they lost three games in a row, and the biggest issue was the defense wasn't getting off the field because of, like, pass interference penalties and things like that. So it's a question I have for this season with week one looming. My three questions were the wide receivers, but if Noah Brown's healthy, I liked what I saw from Jalen Lane and McLaurin. I think that situation will be solved. Edge rusher, secondary, and the penalties are my big questions. If you have any questions, you want to chime in, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Wanted to play a clip from the Sports Junkies this morning because I'm on the same page with them in terms of you can't trade McLaurin. You have to have something worked out. Here is the Sports Junkies from earlier today.
Barring getting another receiver of his caliber this year, do you consider trading Terry McLaurin a disaster? I personally do. I don't care if you get a first rounder, a second rounder, a third rounder, 100 first rounders. I consider trading him for future assets a disaster. Now, if you get another receiver of a similar ilk, and that we could still get, because it hurts us this year.
just have a hard time seeing a similar receiver in skill set to Terry coming back in a deal.
So, it's not gonna. That's not
you're
plausible.
Gonna get a downgrade.
You're gonna get a downgrade, or you're gonna get a different position. You're gonna get like a Freiermuth or somebody. I would argue you don't even need. But or people are going to be all these nerds are going to be all excited about future picks. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the future picks. That's if we trade Terry McLaurin, in my opinion, unless you get a receiver equal value or similar this year, it nukes our it really significantly damages our chances
definitely
for success.
Hampers you for
and I
this
think
season.
It's a disaster.
Yeah. I don't think it's a great move, at least for
it would
the
be a complete disaster.
Season.
Now we have an update as of today. Again, I didn't want to talk about McLaurin. The listener is right. I claim to hold out of McLaurin conversations, but every time there's an update, you have to bring it to the audience. Dan Steinberg, one person with knowledge of the McLaurin contract negotiations, told Nikki Jabala, the veteran receiver, has asked for more than DK Metcalf, which would mean he wants to be top four among wide receivers in average annual value or top 10 in guaranteed money or top 5% in percentage of team's cap. I've told you guys all along, the enemy in this situation is Terry McLaurin's agent. I believe he's getting bad advice. If that's a report that seems to be somebody with knowledge of the situation, I trust Dan Steinberg, I absolutely trust Nikki Jabala, he should not be asking for more than DK Metcalf. That's his agent trying to get life-changing money in a payday. Terry McLaurin's getting bad advice. I just hate it. I know Barstool Nate's like, oh, DC Media's starting to realize Buddy Baker's the enemy. I've been saying that for a while now.
Yeah, I've been hearing that all around.
He should not be asking for more than DK Metcalf. It's pretty obvious. DK's 34. Cortland Sutton's 22. Meet in the middle. That's like 27, 28, 29. I don't see the Commanders going over 30, and I think Adam Peters is right in that situation. The problem is, the closer we get to the start of the regular season, 30 becomes more of a viable option because you're just desperate to get him back on the field and not have it be a disaster that dismantles your entire season. Once again, while Jaden Daniels is on a rookie contract, this is your chance to make the most of that and to try to get a Lombardi Trophy, win the Super Bowl. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So sports radio shows around the country, TV shows, radio, and even writers have been going with this topic for the entire offseason, which is teams projected to regress or predicted to decline this season. And we got into a fight, Stubb, with Carrington Harrison from the Harrison Experience because he pointed to the Commanders as the team he expects to regress most this season. I got pissed off because I said, number one, have you been paying attention to what they did this offseason? They traded for Tunsil, traded for Debo. Jaden's going to be better. The defense is going to be better. And really, I was so upset because I said the Vikings are the team that's regression is staring them right in the face. More than anybody, how can you pick Washington? Well, Bill Barnwell kind of doubled down with his list of five teams he's predicting to decline this season. We're going to go around the NFL here on NFL Hits with AWOD Radio.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So we got Stubb, who runs the ones and twos. Jeremy is our new producer here on The Fan. We'll start with, before we get to decline and regression, teams we expect to take a huge step forward. And I know Manti Te'o is pretty on board with the Giants being better. I think their quarterback situation is going to be better. I think their running back situation is going to be better. I think their defense is going to be better. They do have a tough schedule. And when you play the Eagles twice, the Commanders twice, the Cowboys twice, you're going to have to find a way to win a couple of those games to be better as a team. But I think I'm predicting like 7-10 for the Giants. I think they are going to come close to doubling up their win total from last season. Here is Manti Te'o.
They can hang. They 100% can hang. That's not the question. Just can they win? Brian Daboll, ever since he's been with the Giants, he hasn't beaten the Cowboys yet, and he's only beaten the Eagles once. The team that he has had the most success against is the Washington Commanders, and that was before Jaden Daniels got there. Last year, they went 0-6 against the NFC East, but I think this is a Daniel LaRusso kind of Karate Kid thing, guys. Mm. Like they're going to start fighting back. I think they're going to start fighting back. They took some MMA lessons. They got well-equipped. Talk about being well-equipped. They go out there and they sign Abdul Carter. They draft Abdul Carter. I love that front. I've talked about that front a lot in this show. Not just their ability to get to the quarterback, but in that division specifically, you have one of the more athletic group of quarterbacks. It is not only imperative that you get to them, but I think more importantly in this case that you keep them in the pocket. Everybody knows that when you're playing against these athletic quarterbacks, so the last thing you want to do is let them get out. Not only do you have Abdul Carter, but you have somebody like Russell Wilson that can get the ball to Malik Nabers, one of the more dynamic receivers in the game. You have Tyrone Tracy. I really like Tyrone Tracy coming in out of there. Now, I know Kyle loves Cam Scatterbull. We might see him, too. But again, guys, it goes back to the pass rush. They've equipped themselves with a good defense. It's what you need in MMA, what you need for Daniel LaRusso in the Karate Kid to be able to fight back and start to stand up for yourself. So, yes, they can hang. They've been hanging. But the question is, can they win? And I think it starts this year.
I do love that from Manti Te'o. And I'm going to predict 7-10. So that'd be 4-win improvement from them. I know you like New England, and they were 4-13, so I could see them having a 4-win improvement. Is there another team that you think can improve by more than 4 wins?
I like you. I mean, you took New England. Like I said, I have been highlighting them all offseason. I'm just so in on them. I don't. Maybe I need to look at last year's records.
So Carolina is an opportunity because they were 5-12. Chicago was 5-12 as well. When the offseason started, like Jeremy, I thought the obvious answer was San Francisco. I don't feel as confident anymore. Now they were 6-11. They could be, 9-8, and that's 3-win improvement. Is there a team that you could point to that could win 4 more games than last season?
Yeah, I'm big on the Jaguars this year. I really like the hire of Liam Cohen. They went 4-13 last year. You get another year for Trevor Lawrence in a real offensive coach's system.
Yeah.
BTJ was one of the top five receivers in the NFL by yardage last year. Add Travis Hunter to that. I really like what they did this offseason. I think they're one of those teams that's raring to go.
So you believe in Trevor Lawrence?
I do. I've always been a believer in Trevor Lawrence, but this is the first time he's had a real offensive coach to give him an opportunity to be the guy that he was drafted to be.
Yeah, I mean, he had Urban Meyer, Doug Peterson, and now he gets an opportunity with Liam Cohen.
We also, I mean, we've been highlighting the NFC East. I don't think to say the Cowboys go from 7 to 11 wins is crazy. That's 4 wins right there. I think 11 is in reach for Dallas.
JP Flame brought that up at Football Festival. When you look at the history of the Cowboys, they're a 10-win team when Dak stays healthy.
Yeah,
at least.
And he's back. You know, CeeDee Lamb is still that guy. I don't know how much I trust their running backs or their tight ends, but CeeDee Lamb's that guy.
Yeah, I think Chicago and Carolina are very interesting teams because they should be much better. I don't have faith in the Jets to be much better, and then really don't have faith in the Raiders or Browns or Titans.
I like Carolina. I think Bryce Young flashed at the end of the season. They've been bringing in receiver help. Chuba could be a really up there running back. He really shined near the end of the season.
I am a fan of Tetra McMillan. Yeah. I just don't see them winning more than 9 games. Like I could 9-8 would be a 4-win improvement.
I don't know. Like the Seahawks won 10 last year. I think that's kind of what they look like to me right now, is like a Geno Smith Seahawks. 10 wins, I think, is possible.
All right, let's get to Bill Barnwell's prediction of teams he thinks will decline most this season. The top of his list is the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, they were 15-2, right? And they went 10-0 in games decided by 7 or less. That's a big part of why he thinks they will decline. Certainly why he has Washington in that category as well. 15-2 to what? 13-4? I mean,
like, yeah, it's the Chiefs. I know they lost pretty bad in the Super Bowl, but we're talking about Patrick Mahomes, who was not missed out on a conference championship game. Four of the last five seasons, the Super Bowl appearance, they're going to get at least 13.
Yeah, Vikings are number 2 on his list. That's the team that I think is staring regression right in the face. Is J.J. McCarthy going to work for them? I really don't think so. They are now trying to get another veteran wide receiver because they've got some injuries there in that wide receiver room. Here's what he says. The Vikings were one of last season's great regular season stories, coming up with a huge final record of 14-3. 8-1 in one-score games like the Chiefs, they'll be hard to repeat that kind of success. He believes they won't fall below 500, but 14-3 won't happen. I think 9-8 is a good prediction for the Vikings.
I do too.
Yeah. He has Washington on the list. We'll get back to that later. Indianapolis.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting because they finished last year 8-9. 4 of those 5 wins were against backup quarterbacks. Washington also faced a lot of backup quarterbacks last year. I think this Colts situation could be, Steichen could be the first head coach fired, and they could be one of the worst teams in football this year.
Yep.
Who ends up drafting a quarterback at the end of the year. Like, that's an interesting one because you wouldn't really point to a team that was below 500 to have the biggest decline, but they could go from 8-9 to 3-14.
It's so possible.
Now, they have good weapons in terms of Jonathan Taylor, T.J. Warren. The defense should be better.
Pittman's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's solid. It's just the question mark is, why are you going with Daniel Jones? And I guess you might not have had a choice with Anthony Richardson. That's why I would have drafted Shedeur Sanders in Indianapolis. Like, I can't believe they didn't draft a quarterback this year.
Clearly, they weren't going to go with Richardson. Why would you believe in Daniel Jones? That's just a confusing place.
Detroit finished 15-2 last year. I think they're still too tough of a team to beat that I could see them dropping off by more than 4 losses. Like, I probably would predict 12 or 13 wins for them. And I could see them also going 15-2 again. I believe in the Lions, man.
The coordinator thing is just a big question mark. The roster is still there.
The roster is so damn good. Like, in terms of just the best roster in the NFC, I don't think the Commanders are in the top 5. I think because Jaden is such an X factor for us. I think Eagles are 1, Lions are 2. Like the Rams could be up there. The Cowboys could be up there in terms of
Ravens,
their roster.
Bills are pretty.
But just NFC teams,
more.
I'm talking
NFC,
like.
Yeah.
I don't think Washington, just off of the talent of our roster, is a top 3 team in the NFC. Because we're roster heavy at the top with Jaden.
Yeah.
I mean, it took him four plays to get down the field and score against the Bengals. That got me so fired up for this upcoming regular season. We'll talk about Bill Barnwell predicting the Commanders will be one of the five teams that declines most this season coming up later on the show today. We'll drive down Richmond Highway with the Czar, Gary Hess, gearing up for season 32, calling high school football games here in the 804. It is the Cowan Gates Hokies update when we return with Bill Roth on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So we'll get to Bill Roth in a second for the Cowan Gates Hokies update, but I did want to get to this news real quick. So yesterday, John Wall retired. One of the best point guards in the DMV of my lifetime. You know, he's up there with Gilbert Arenas in terms of the past 20 years of the best of the Washington Wizards. Never had the most success, of course. Never got to a conference championship game, but was he a good number one overall pick? He was awesome. The city loved him. He's got a legacy in Washington, D.C. So we honored John Wall yesterday in his retirement. And then he just announced today he's got a new job. John Wall will be an analyst on NBA on Amazon Prime this upcoming season. So you got NBA moving to NBC. You've got ESPN grabbing the Inside the NBA show from TNT. Amazon Prime will start with their NBA coverage this year. And they're welcoming John Wall to the NBA on Amazon Prime family. So was not out of a job for long. Retires yesterday. Today, he was just hired to be one of the voices covering the NBA on Amazon Prime. All right, anytime you hear Enter Sandman, you know it's time for the Cowan Gates Hokies update. We are not too long away from the kickoff against South Carolina. I can't wait for this regular season to begin here for the Hokies. It's Bill Roth with us here right now on the up on the Dean Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline for the Cowan Gates Hokies update. What's up, Bill?
Good afternoon. We are having a beautiful day in Blacksburg, and practice is this afternoon. They moved things around a little bit today for our team. But we are 11 days away from the season opener. Hokies, Gamecocks, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Let's start with QB1. Have you had a chance to sit down and talk with Drones at all?
We did. In fact, it's been really, it was a really good time for us. He's having fun at quarterback, and you can read about him in our this week's Roth report, and also Level 7. He joined us on our podcast, which you can get on our Virginia Tech Sports Network. Just search for that on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. But in any event, we do those every week, and we had Kyron and Marcellus Hawkins and Kelvin Gilliam on this week. But Kyron's having a really good preseason. He's having the best preseason that he's had since he's been here.
You know, we had a football festival on Saturday, and had a few Hokies fans ask me, do we know who's going to be the starting running back for this season?
Well, if the season started today, it would be Marcellus Hawkins, who is a transfer. He was here in the spring. He's a transfer from – he grew up in Oklahoma City. He played at Central Missouri for the last 3 years. He has 2 years of eligibility left, and I've watched him – more so here in the fall than in the spring. He's running with the first team this week, and I'm wondering, what did everybody miss? Elijah Brooks, who's the Hokies running back coach, saw his tape, talked with his coaches. Hokies were one of the first schools to get involved with him the day his name popped into the portal, and I don't know why there wasn't more. You know, same with Tootin. You know, how did Bashal Tootin end up at North Carolina A&T, right?
Right.
He clearly was miscast or at a level. And maybe coming out of high school, he wasn't ready for that, and maybe it's the same thing in this instance. But he looks really good to me. But that doesn't mean that, you know, the game's still 11 days away. But if the season started tonight, it would be Hawkins.
Bill, I had a couple great conversations with the Hokies at ACC kickoff in Charlotte. The one that comes top of my mind, who I enjoyed the most, was Kelvin Gilliam. What are you expecting from him this season?
What a leader. He's also one of our guests this week on our show, which I hope you have a chance to listen to. He's another in the long line of Highland Spring High School Springers that have come to Virginia Tech. For those that don't know, when he was a high school senior, Kelvin, he was very highly recruited. I think he was one of the top five players in the state, number two or number three, depending upon your service. Lots of offers. Everybody offered him. He signed with Oklahoma, played there for a couple of years, but was essentially a backup and transferred to Virginia Tech. And he's having a great camp, too, but not only in his production as a defensive tackle, but when we see these running drills after practice. And the guy leading the way, the guy being the most vocal, is Kelvin. And that's the leadership, and he brings that to our team and to our locker room, and the guys really look up to him. And this is probably true with most teams, but when the team can kind of police itself and the leaders come from within, it's more organic, and the coach doesn't have to scream and yell because the guys are holding each other accountable.
Right.
And I see that. I see that with this team. And there's other examples of that too, like making sure they're going to class, making sure they're going to treatment, making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. And you can see the little things. I'll give you a couple of examples. Everyone, when Coach Sifkis talks, every single guy on defense, including the guys that aren't necessarily on the field, like the guys that are the number twos or the number threes who are watching, always eyes up. Eyes are always up. They're always looking. That wasn't the case last year. Everything is on time. That wasn't the case last year. When they practice and then they come back in and they're exhausted and they shower and they get dressed, the locker room is spotless when they're done. They leave it like they found it.
Yeah.
And now there's probably a coach out there listening, nodding his or her head, or a parent, right? When your kid's making his or her bed every morning, that says something. And that doesn't mean you're going to win football games, right? But it says something about the accountability and the commitment to doing things the way the coaches want it done. And that's getting policed by the guys. Clean up your locker, dude. Hey, man, you left your towel on the ground. Hey, man. Straighten that up. And that's Kelvin.
Yeah.
That's Kelvin Gilliam. Like, this is the way we're going to do it. Just the routine. You know, if I'm sure we have some listeners that were military based, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a reason you make your bed in the morning. It doesn't make you a better soldier, it doesn't make you a better defensive tackle. But if you do everything in the way that the coaches suggest you do it, and they're smart coaches, and the team holds each other accountable, that can make a difference in a game. The fundamentals and doing things the right way. And I think Kelvin, there's other guys as well, but I think Kelvin is a vocal leader and really leads by example in that regard.
Yeah. No, I love that kind of leadership, and should lead to a more of a tight-knit group this upcoming season. I wanted to ask you about Whit Babcock's presentation to the Board of Visitors from Monday.
You know, it's not hyperbole. You could argue that Monday was the biggest day in the history of Virginia Tech athletics. That the athletic director showed where Virginia Tech is financially compared to its rivals or its peer schools in our conference and nationally, and what it's going to take to get there, that the Hokies' expectations don't match their resources. And for Whit to come out there in front of a room full of media and a room full of the people that are appointed by the governor to run this university and show that and share that, I thought he did a great job. And I think it resonated well. Our board is still meeting here today. Today is the final day of their meeting, and they'll have another meeting in November, and there'll be more coming out on this. But the financial model that was put in place for most schools from 30 years ago, we're not the only ones in this boat, by the way, doesn't work anymore. The financial model of sell tickets, raise money, was great, but the media landscape has changed completely. Revenue sharing and NIL has changed where a lot of money goes, which is fine, but the universities aren't set up to be NBA and NFL teams. And so you have to tweak the financial model. And, you know, everyone knows the finances of an NBA team, salary cap, and NFL teams. But the Commanders don't have to fund a men's or women's basketball team. The Commanders don't have to fund a chemistry department, right? You know, the Virginia Tech institutionally has a $2.5 billion budget, and athletics budget is $140 million of that. So it's a very small percentage, but there's so many moving parts to a university, and to come up with another $60 million, which of course is what Witt says. He says that for Tech to be competitive in this league, it needs a budget of about $200 million. That's a huge increase. 140 to 200 million is a lot. And so where does that money come from? And so the board is going to have to figure that out. The university will have to figure it out. There's a lot of different ways. Winning helps, but you need more than winning in today's era. And I thought Witt was really good. It wasn't a pleasant two-hour presentation, but showed where we were and where we are, and the board is going to have to determine where it wants Tech to be in the ACC and nationally in the hierarchy. How much is it willing to invest? And Virginia Tech's not the only school. There was an article in today's Tuscaloosa paper down in Alabama with the Alabama athletic director. They're trying to figure it out too. And you know, Bama's winning, and they're in the SEC. But I encourage everyone to read Greg Burns' quotes today. There's only two sports at Alabama that make money. Every single one of them, he claims, loses at least $1 million a year. And one of the sports at Alabama, he didn't say which sport, he says, we have one sport that's losing $7 million a year. And that's Alabama. Mm-hmm. So they're either spending too much or not selling enough tickets, but they're winning enough in football that they can make a go of it. And so anyway, I'm talking too much here, but the financial model from 1995 doesn't work in 2025 because you have to come up with millions and millions of dollars in revenue sharing for your athletes.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It really is.
And I joke about it. I mean, I joke about it with I mean, seriously, some NFL friends of mine. Like, you guys don't know how good you have it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fund a biology department.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You know, the Dallas Cowboys are worth more than any pro team in the world, but they don't have an aerospace engineering department that they got to worry about. You know, Tim Sands does, and a massive nationally ranked engineering school and a nationally ranked business school. It's a global research university, and you know, Jerry Jones doesn't have to worry about any of that, but Tim Sands and Whit Babcock do.
Yep. Well, Bill, we always appreciate you taking the time, man. Thanks so much.
See you, buddy. Have a great rest of your week.
Yep. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan. Now, at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the Commanders. You can hear every game on 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. The Commanders are back in Ashburn at the practice facility, the newly renamed practice facility. And we're all wondering, will we see Terry McLaurin out there when practice begins at 2 p.m.? But head coach Dan Quinn just spoke to the media before today's training camp practice. Let's take a listen.
All right, good to see everybody. I would figure I'd start just going through the game, you know, and getting a chance to watch it. Figured hit you up on some things that I liked. First, I thought run game-wise and pass protection from the offensive line, I thought I liked where that's headed. I liked what I saw.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You've heard me talk about the gap schemes and people on the move and pulling. That was something that, you know, I saw improvement that the guys have been working hard at. I like the energy of the defense in the first part of the game. I thought that felt a lot more like us, just in terms of the tackling, the physicality. I liked a couple plays early by Quan and JK down in the, you know, near the goal line. So that was good to see. On the sideline, I thought I saw countless examples of brotherhood of people coaching one another up, going through things together. And I thought the three captains, you know, really represented themselves. That was Martin and Good Jones and Yankoff. Some areas I wanted to see improve. I'm not happy with the ball being at a -2 for the game. Not likely going to win a lot doing that. And our tackling and breaking tackles. We're not near the space we need to be on that. And then on our kickoff cover and our kickoff return, those are two of the groups I'm most proud of and are the biggest part of our identity. And so I've got super high standards for them. So I'd like to see, you know, more consistent kick-ass plays, you know, on that group. I saw it after the first kickoff. I saw, you know, one of the returns later. But those are two groups that I just, you know, have such high standards for in our team, and I want to consistently see that higher. So all that said, let's get rocking with you guys and let's get it going. Yes, no updates. Brian's been excused from the practice for today, and we hope to have some resolution on that soon. The return to play part is that's the good news. So we're out of the rehab phase with Terry. His ankle's good. He's healthy. So now it's a, you know, return to play. What goes into all that at that position specifically, like the max speeds, the decelerations, the route tree of going through that. So that's kind of the good news of where we're at. It's just, you know, conditioning and football and returning to play. And so almost all the guys are at some phase along that way. You're going to see McGee at practice. You're going to see Baptiste, you know, they just have kind of gone through that process as well where they're out of the rehab portion of their, you know, returning to play. And then it's back into like the football simulated work. So, yeah, we're excited that, you know, he's back and getting better conditioning and getting things going. Chick? Yeah, we're on the return to play format. So it starts off as rehab. I can go through it again if you want.
You got to look at your ones, the last game. What's the plan for Saturday?
I saw some things, honestly, going through. There's still a lot of moving parts, Jacob, like, you know, not out the entire offensive line. So it'll be more customized in this game, not as many players from the game against Cincinnati. But there's definitely a lot of battles that I'm looking forward to seeing at still at a number of spots. But it won't be as many that we played in Cincinnati for sure.
These next couple of days as you try to figure out that 53 for this coaching staff?
Yeah, it's all part of the whole process. And this time of year can be most challenging for the players that may see themselves on the roster bubble or the practice squad bubble. And you just try to encourage them, man, like, try not to count, you know, like, best foot forward, what's your best look like? And I've seen a lot of that from guys at practice. I've been also impressed by some players, you know, that we've added late and then have worked their ass off to get caught up. I've seen that, you know, with Hamilton. He played on defense. He played on teams. I was impressed by that. And then we added, you know, another new offensive tackle in Fant today. So I'll be excited to get on the field with him. But this time of year, man, it does get heated in that space. But that's my messaging to make sure, man, like, don't get into the counting business. Like, whatever your best looks like, we talked about it early, just that competition of going for it with one another and supporting each other. And I liked what I've seen from that side. But it's a real thing. It's a real emotion. They want it badly to make it, and they know this is a team they want to be a part of. So I want to make sure they stay in that pocket of doing right.
Dan, just to clarify, will we see Terry today out here doing anything?
Not at the practice portion. He had a big part of the run that went along today. But I'm not going to play Where's Waldo, guys, all right, moving forward. So just so we're clear on that. So Terry's return to play format is no different than any of the other players. And so I'm not jumping at you, Ben, but I wanted to make sure, like, the next question doesn't go down this line. He's healthy, which is now a good step to, like, getting closer to being back on the field. So you'll see that earlier than later. I don't have a date circled on my whiteboard in my office, this day for him. But yeah, the good news, we're getting closer to that for sure.
And with Chris Rodriguez, what have you noticed the difference with him maybe on the field and maybe getting ready to play football from when you first got him to now?
Conditioning, for sure. This is a guy who's changed his body and now has allowed, you know, the passing game. He's more fluid to go into that. He's always been a strong runner. That was Chris coming out from at college at Kentucky to here. And you saw that in the way he got his opportunity summoned some 4 minutes to finish some games. But he's very consistent in his tracks and his run game. So I've seen that. What I have seen is elevated conditioning that allows him. Now there's more ops on punt. There's more ops on other spaces. So he's really, by doing that, given himself more ops. And so he's off to a good start.
Dan, two other injury ones. Trey Amos, you said had a hamstring. What's the latest on him?
So Trey will be back out today. And then we've got a pretty – I'm excited for you guys to see practice tomorrow. We have referees coming. So if he can hit all the markers back today, then I would say, like, then we're ready to begin him back with it as well.
And as far as Sam Cosmi, now with it being close to 2 weeks before the opener, what's your feeling for his status going in?
Yeah, where I originally earlier had said I don't have a date on some people, that's different because of PUP and not. So that is a date that you do have to say, okay, by this time, are you able to get into that? Good news for Sam, I'm glad you brought him up. He has hit all the markers along the way to set himself up to begin, you know, that process where then it begins the individual work into that. So as we get closer, we'll have a better shot for him to, you know, start into the practice phase of things. So I'm encouraged, Nikki, by the work that he's put in. So I'm hopeful that's where it goes, that, you know, otherwise it's like a longer 4 week process to wait. So all signs today would indicate that he's hitting those marks.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good morning. Afternoon, yes, sorry.
Understanding what you just said about not wanting to play like Where's Waldo, I think there is some interest and curiosity for guys like Terry and even Cosmi. Like, what is the sort of organizational philosophy of why it's okay or even preferable for them not to go to the game on Monday night?
Yeah, it's really custom to how we want to do things by player. Some big rehab here, some not on those particular days. So that's how we decide to, you know, go through all the guys. If I would show you a list of who's rehab, who's doing what on what day and how they go, they have that mapped out pretty good.
And then as you've watched Connerly throughout camp, what has stood out to you the most as far as the way he's made that transition from left to right? And maybe why is that more difficult than, you know, the average Joe might understand?
Right. I'll tell you, Adam, one of the things that jumped out to be more than even left to right was in the run game. And I thought he was make that transition just athletically. He'll put it in, and guys have moved that one. I'm not going to say I was surprised by it, but the run game part of him was even better than I had thought. Sometimes you think of an athletic tackle and you automatically your mind goes to pass protection. But he's a very strong run defender. He can clamp on you. He can move you. You saw that with some double teams the other day. We've seen him pull. So that would be probably as big a shift for me as it was even from left to right is in the run game. I thought he'd acclimate to that just based on the athleticism. But the running game part, you know, I've certainly been impressed by that so far.
Sticking with the offensive line, you've had a lot of moving parts throughout
yes.
camp. Does that concern you at all? Because you're then going to have Cosme coming back in there at some point.
Yeah. It's not ideal. And I think you want to control the things you can. So Coleman's back into some practice today, so that's a good sign. There's nothing like the practice work. You know, we can do it on the walkthrough, we can do it in the meeting room, but it does help, you know, when the guys are side by side and going through it together. So it's not ideal, but I also know there's a silver lining in the contingency plans that go along with that, where when somebody's out and the next person comes in, they get to do their thing. And I think it's opened up some spaces for Chris Paul, and I've seen more versatility from him than I ever have. But no, you'd like for those guys to get the reps in together. And as a coach, I want them all, man, just so I can think of how to do it and how to get there. And whether that's Terry or Sam or Brandon, who was out, or Marcus. So I think about them a lot and how much, you know, how quickly we need them back to get ready. But I guess I look at it also from the silver lining to say, when there's been some spaces for some chances to move it around, you know, guys have responded.
I mean, does Wiley kind of fit in really well there because you're reminded, oh, I can do a bunch of different things with this
guy? Yeah. His attitude has just been so on point from the offseason so far in this training camp. He's played right tackle. He's played left guard. He started at left tackle the other day. And so it really comes from his mindset first. Honestly, there was zero resistance on the day that Coleman had gotten injured in practice. All of a sudden, you just saw Wiley just go in at left guard. It was like, you know, there wasn't even a play that changed. I'll move. And I like what he brings to us in that way.
Coach, you talked about kind of both the Brian Robinson situation as well as Chris Rodriguez, but how are you and other coaches kind of approaching conversations with other running backs on the team with the lack of a resolution with Brian Robinson now and kind of gearing up those running backs for whatever might happen next?
I didn't have any extra conversations with any of the other runners. I had a discussion with the whole team, but not specifically with Austin or Chris or Bill or Kaz or Felt or any of the guys. So I just would rather tell everybody this. I don't want to have one code for these guys and something for somebody else. So they're big guys. They know what's at stake. And that's what I like seeing in the game, prove it in competition. And I knew this is a very competitive group. Fortunately, at the spot, it looked no further than like Austin Eckler and Jeremy McNichol of like what a pro's pro would look like. They're the absolute standard. And for those in the room that's covered those two, they know exactly on the field, off the field, their drill work, their special teams play. They're just an epitome of, you know, kind of the commander way, that way we want to get down at running back and just at football.
With George Fant, what do you like about him and why now for a player like that?
The length, obviously, for a tackle, he looks great. He had a workout with us last week, and then Adam and the team, you know, were able to finalize all that over the weekend. So that's a really big deal for us to add somebody with George's experience and length and at offensive tackle. It's very, very cool to have somebody with his experience and background and play style and skill, all that. So we're really pumped to add him to the crew.
Hey, Dan. Next week, you got to get down to 53, that initial 53. So as you're going through the evaluation, what are some of the position groups, maybe one or two, that's been really challenging to evaluate as you get down to next week?
Yeah, there's been we knew going in tight ends had, a deep crew. Running backs would have a deep crew. Certainly the safeties have been that way. So all of them have their own competitions. And it, this morning I was had made some individual cut-ups on individual players. Sometimes as a coach, I'm watching all 22 on this play and all 22, and then we'll just look back in at one player. I want to see the last two games, every rep. And we'll do that a lot too. If you were comparing you and I, here's all your plays, watch them. Here's all my plays, watch them. And that's a good way to do it as well. And then, quite honestly, there's also around the league. One thing that I admire from Adam is, give Fant as an example, with he and with Lance, they're not backing off competing. And if there are ways and times that we can improve the team, they've proven that, they're down for that. And it's one of the things I really respect about Adam, knowing it's not just here that everybody's competing against. It's around the National Football League and scouting and looking at guys. So when you're in the building, you don't think of that way. You're just looking at this practice and these people. But that's why I was referring to Chick earlier, not counting, because it's not just this room that you're counting. It's a standard. It's a way and how you play. And so I think that's really important. And the best of the best from a player's standpoint know that. And so you got to produce all the time. All right, you guys have a good day.
That was head coach Dan Quinn of your Washington Commanders. Probably the toughest press conference he's had to face since getting the job. Where's Waldo? He's not going to answer that question. We'll break down what Dan Quinn had to say about Brian Robinson, Terry McLaurin, a bunch of injury updates, and more on the other side of this commercial break. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.